Hello everyone, how are you? I'm Isawellen Writes, and this is Isawellen Writes Grown Up Storytime. I'm recording late in the day and there's a lot of ambient noise, it feels like. My son also took this microphone and he used it for gaming, and I'm feeling a little like there's a little bit more echo than there was before. But you know me, right? I'm going to go for it because I promised this on Monday and it is no longer Monday. And I wanted to do this chapter 13 of Caught for you guys. So I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, see to my pants, woman with a microphone who has no idea what she's doing. People, do not ever think for one moment that this is a professional grade podcast. No, there is no music at the intro. There is no music at the end. Your lovely podcaster has no idea what she's doing. I just plug things in and hit play or hit record, you know, like we used to do when we were kids on those old recorders when you made the mixtape. You just push the two buttons together and it makes it go. And then you push the one button to stop. And if you don't have the two buttons together, it doesn't work, right? Yes. Yes. I am that old. So like I said, there's a little bit of ambient noise and it feels like there's an echo, and I will try to take that out. Hopefully it will be loud enough, because really that's the biggest thing, is it going to be loud enough? Here is chapter 3 of Caught. This chapter's a little rough. Chapter 13 and 14, 15. Just everything's giving me issues. Okay, anyways, here we go. Anya's point of view. I wandered down winding halls of the maze of Calyx's house, not ready to go back to the bedroom. What had Andrew said? The Argus were descendants of the ancient, the stag, whose presence made the towers. My mother had painted our bedroom with the shape of a stag among the tall trunks of the trees. Many of the old big buildings in New India were decorated with the legend. A man-shaped upper body crowned with a massive rack of antlers painted or carved somewhere inside them. Anything that had existed and survived the Unification War. I'd not seen anything like carvings or paintings yet in Calyx's home, not even in the library where forest scenery covered everything, but I suspected them. If the ancient were a real thing, a real creature and not a story, surely the seat of the family with blood ties to him would show signs of the connection. Shade chose his shadow shape in the house, too big to roam man-sized halls with me. The place was heavily furnished. There were chairs and lamps tucked in alcoves everywhere, child-sized earthenware vases and other kinds of decorations filled the corners. Well lived in, the house held generations of family collections. Many of the things hummed with a low magic, marked. Tap, tap, tap goes my little, pardon me. Yes, I just broke the story because I didn't have my, sorry, okay. I haven't done that in a while. Where's my brain? Okay, Isawellen, get it on. Many of the things hummed with a low magic marked by the touch of the mage makers. It was weird. Nothing like the dead, dull, manufactured knoll building I'd grown up in. Weird, but nice. Instead of holding it in, I let the magic in me out, touching the arm of the chair, the frame of doorway, a tall, skinny chest with 100 boxy little drawers and drawers in it that made me think of puzzles. I touched the inanimate things and let my magic taste the residue of the past, connect with it, instead of fighting to hold it back, flowing with it. Like a child, the energy inside of me spread out from my fingers and fondled everything. What are you doing? Not paying attention, the voice startled me. I snapped the energy back into myself like pulling on a string. A young woman stood in the doorway. Native like me, her light wheat blonde hair had a nighttime braid over her shoulder, and she wore a thin sleep dress, the material clingy and revealing. The question was curious, not accusatory, but I didn't know how to answer. Was this normal, what my magic wanted? I'd been teased as a child for letting it do this. When my mother wasn't around, they called me a glowworm freak. I'd not been able to control it then. It would leak out indiscriminately whenever I wasn't paying attention. My grandmother could do that, shine like that when she mingled. But not by herself. Mingled. I'd forgotten that term. Transferring the magic without sex. I smiled weakly at the girl. My mother was the same. You are the girl who healed the trees, brought them back to life, is that right? Trees? I hadn't seen them yet. I knew the magic had fiddled with things. They were only asleep. Hiding, I corrected. Asleep? But they'd been tested, Andrew said. But he could never prove it. He said that the stag had put them to sleep to protect them, the last of their reserves. But it's just something he found in a book. He couldn't prove it. I don't know how many times the Union scientists have been through here looking for residue. No one else felt the magic of the towers then? I'd always wondered. I wondered if they could feel it in the old possessions of this house. The magic master said you could have died. He was angry, she said. It took me a moment to catch up, missing half the process of this conversation. The girl had big golden brown eyes, the delicate beauty of a native. Oh, I was all right, I told her. I didn't see. Moll's had us cleaning in the east wing. Since you powered the whole house, she wants it all cleaned. Her and company sigh was put upon, but not blaming. Who was this girl? This place is huge, I agreed. Andrew said at one time 20 families lived here, not counting null guards and servants. Can you imagine? It was the way of things in the old days. I couldn't imagine. I didn't know if it sounded fun or horrible. I'm Neva Teneve, by the way. Nice to meet you, Neva. You can call me Anya. Anya, can I ask, why are you up so late? Why don't you eat meals with us? We've all been wondering about the new girl. Oh, I didn't mean to wake you. Oh, she looked behind herself, stepped out of the room and closed the door behind her. I wasn't sleeping. Her smile was conspiratorial. Shade wasn't bothered at all by her. A low shadow against the floor, he lay a few feet away, hiding himself. She didn't seem to be aware of him. You have company in there? A mage? I asked. Before he left, the master emancipated all his witches and asked us to accept new offers of protection. Dorfin came to me right away. He's taking his new duties very seriously, Neva giggled. How many mages are there in this house? How many would I need to protect myself from? Not enough for all the sugar. I winced. Ooh, I hated that term with every fiber of my being. Why are there so many women here? When the master is on a hunt, if he finds a witch, he offers his protection. I processed that. Was the man collecting witches? Why? Had Kallax collected me? That was what the Union forces did, collected witches to manage their magic for unification purposes, force them into mandated relationship, use them in their factories and power plants. If I'd been caught by Union forces, I'd face re-education and a male harem based on my magic abilities. With a null controller to see that we stayed compliant to Union laws. Did Kallax have a version of that here? As a powerful mage, I'd seen for myself how much magic he could hold. I was no judge of other women's abilities, but power or the powers of mages. But it seemed he'd need several women to satisfy his capability for magic. He was the type of male the Union loathed, too strong and dominant. There was a lot about this world I had neglected and ignored, but even I knew enough to understand that Kallax would never be a friend of the Union. The thought that he was acting like them, collecting women, angered me, outraged me on behalf of witches everywhere, itched beneath my skin, insulted he thought to add to his little collection. I didn't need his protection. How many times did I need to say it? She must have seen the look on my face. It's always a choice. More than my father would have given me, she clarified. Sometimes it doesn't feel like a choice, but life here isn't so bad. Having been asleep or hiding alone in Calyx's tree bedroom, I had yet to discover what life here was like. "Well," she said, looking down the hallway. She had always been aware of Shade the whole time, aware and not completely comfortable, it seemed. "Is it true? Mal says you talk to them." I shrugged, not in the habit of sharing secrets. This girl seemed innocent and friendly, but I didn't know her. I wasn't going to stand in the hallway in the middle of the night and spill my guts to her. Neva looked me over curiously. "The Master's one of the good guys. I know he is strong-handed about things. Aren't they all? I'll take a spanking that makes it hard to sit over a beating that makes it hard to stand any day. You still have that collar on. Usually he takes that off once a witch is here, but," she smiled at me, "but," I was curious. The girl had answers to all kinds of questions, to things no one had bothered to tell me. "Well, you know what it is, right? It's old, old magic, an artifact." She let the words hang there just like a tease. I kept my face blank. "No, I had no clue what it was other than the thing that shaped Calyx's will and forced my body to do what he wanted." "It's a bond collar. It's a slave collar," I corrected. In my own clothes, I'd have been able to keep it away from my skin, but this light feminine blousy top had a gathered oval neck that allowed a lot of room for the magic thing to lay at the base of my throat. It took no effort at all for me to feel it. The magic inside me, highly aware of who had put it there, who had bound me, and how I could reach out to him at any time through it. The girl blushed. "Oh, you sound like Violet. All the men are pigs and idiots, just useful to ease the itch." Changing her voice to an exaggerated accent, Neva giggled to herself. The Violet sounded like a person I would like. "How many witches are there here?" "Oh, there are only 8. Well, 9 now, counting you." "That is more witches in one place than..." "Well, I haven't seen that since I was young." "You won't. Not outside of union compliance, anyway. The magic shortage the last couple of years, right?" She said that like it was news I should know about, but I didn't. Survival had made me insular and selfish. I knew native women like myself and like her were rare. I knew unprotected, unmarried women in general were rare since the unification. I just assumed they were either being hidden by the males who caught them or hiding themselves. A magic shortage? How was that possible? Magic didn't die. It moved from one place to another, but was a constantly self-replicating element. It existed within the balance of nature the same way air existed. Not wanting to look like a fool, when I felt really stupid, I just nodded my head, pretending I knew what Neva knew. She looked behind her at the door, back at me. "Hey, would you like to go to the dining room? Now that the food keepers are all working, Mal has been going crazy keeping everything stocked. There's plenty of tea there and something to nibble on." As if it didn't bother her at all that we'd be walking around... As if it didn't bother her at all to be walking around in barely their night clothes, Neva led me to the dining room. Shade guessed is distant from her, and she from him. "Can you feel him, the hellhound?" I wanted to know. Her eyes widened a little bit, as if surprised by the question. "Oh, yes. You're not afraid?" "Oh, I'm terrified," she made a face at me. "But I've lived here almost 2 years. There's only one with you, right? You can tell?" "One or more. The fear is kind of the same level if they aren't paying attention to me," she explained. "You aren't bothered at all? Mal hates it that they act like actual big hunting dogs around you. She's loved the Master forever. Her magic is weak, so I don't know if she will ever get a permanent mage. Halfborn. Oh, she was so mad earlier. I caught her in the hallway. She went in to clean your room and couldn't believe the state of the bed. She must have slipped in when I went to wash. I planned to do something about the mess on my own. Remove the piled up dishes, get Fred bedding, tidy a bit. I wasn't a total slob, though I knew my standards couldn't compare to Maul's. Feeling trapped in a surreal dream, I let Neva lead me into the dining room. She asked questions about me, where I was from, that I answered, and others I deflected, asking about her and her life here. Open. Seemingly fearless, she answered whatever I wanted to know, without the good sense to guard herself. She sat us down, got a sweet hot cider and cookies for both of us, a steady stream of information flowing the entire time. I learned about her and her new protector, who she liked here and who she didn't. She asked me what had happened in the library. Did Andrews do something to you? He is the nicest old man. I never would have thought he'd do anything to make anyone upset. He didn't do anything, I answered. The expression on her face said she was waiting for more of an answer. Not sure to how to respond, I gave her a small shrug. You're different, she said. Not the first time someone had said that to me. Still, I tensed a little, waiting on her next words. Most women, most witches, they need to show off a little more, prove themselves. Why do I get the feeling you'd rather be part of the woodwork? Witch did like to show off. That part of me loved attention. Do you think that's a personality trait? Are all witches like that? I asked. Are no women like that? Neva took a sip from her cup. Aren't all women a little like that? My sister sure wanted me to know who was stronger, and all the sugar here practically wrestle for position. I confess, I've not spent a lot of time with no girls. My da kept my sister and I in the house or in the yard close to the house. Only my brothers were permitted off the property. My sister was 20 when she was sold to her husband, and the same plan for me. He was afraid the union would get us, and he'd lose his sale. How did the hunter come across you? One of my brothers came home, hoping my mother could help hide him. He broke a contract with some city baron. The master hunted him down. Did Calix pay your father for you? I asked. She gurgled her drink with laughter. No, not at all. He left my mother behind and let my father live. Can I ask, where are you in the position of power here? She didn't seem to think it was an odd question. I didn't want to be top witch, but I knew from experience what trouble that type of girl hierarchy could be for me. Well, there are the 8 of us. Not one of us has woke up one of the tower's trees or could power the whole house for a day, much less longer, she winked at me. Those words embarrassed me, but feeling noticed at last, the monster inside me twisted in a basking roll. Wow, Neva breathed out. No one here does that either, not even with fresh mage candidate to mingle with. What? Your eyes, they just snapped blue, bright hot blue, and your hair went silver and starry. It just winked on and off. You didn't do it on purpose? I sighed. You said it yourself. I'm different. We heard footsteps approach, the scrape of masculine boots, and watched as a half-dressed mage came into the room. He wore no top, showing off his pale, cream-colored skin and long braided hair of wheat down behind his shoulder blades. With dyes and stains, he might pass for a young null male, but I guessed him to be a mage beyond his boyhood, closest to his 30th year. Ho! Ha! What are you ladies doing here? Neva, my love, have you been looking for me? Going to give me a second chance? A mage in the room, her magic came to the surface. The same soft, pale pink glow of dawn. I watched, curious. It didn't swirl like mine did or move out of her with a mind of its own. I felt her eyes on me. An inner clench had hidden my magic completely. I was not letting witch out of play if I could help it. I told you, I won't share. I don't want one. I only want one protector. I only want one protector. It's not as if you need more than one witch to fill you up, you randy tomcat. Neva's words came out more playful than mean, her voice lilting over them. She felt innocent, but understood enough about the world to get along in it. Sweetie, you wound me. The man clutched his chest. And who is this pretty bit? Drained already? Who has used you up, poor thing? He sounded like he was ready to brandish a weapon in my defense as he approached. He sounded like he had been inhaling blue. She's not drained at all. She's just amazing, Neva said. Tweed, don't come any closer. Don't you see him? Watching the maid, I still knew that Shade had moved. He had been parked in an opposite doorway, outside the dining room, as if trained not to enter. Now he slinked across the floor. Shit, the man said, stumbling back. It was sudden. Catching at Shade's instincts, he lunged in the mage's direction, and I intervened, calling him to me. The big beast solidified, pushed his head between the table and my body, knocking my chair back onto the floor so that I fell straight back with an unladylike oof. Protective, the hound stepped over my ungainly, surprised form, putting me underneath him while he growled at the mage, and Neva spilled her cider trying to get away from the sharp teeth. Shade! I cried out, gasping and laughing. I loved having a hellhound protector, but he must weigh 3 times as much as me and had no clue about size and strength. Afraid of the hound, neither human came up to me as I rolled out of the chair and tried to crawl out from under his belly. You big dolt! I'm okay. I can take care of myself, I think. At least let me try. Go on. Go on out. He whined, disliking the order, but letting me know it. I tugged on the soft point of his ear. Out. Growling at Tweed, huffing at Neva, he went back to where he'd been waiting, twisting and turning on the short walk back to keep both of them in his sights. I giggled at him, covered my mouth at the surprise sound, giggled again. Shit, the man said from the floor. He seemed harmless. I went over to him, offered him my hand to help him up. Curious, could I take care of myself? Could I control which? The voice in my head sniffed at me in disdain. Harmless, it echoed. Touching him was mingling, as Neva had said. When Witch had been locked away, the random accidental touch had done nothing. I'd appeared null. Could I still do that? Tweed took my hand, but he didn't give me any of his weight, stomach flexing as he stood. I took my hand back. Nothing happened. But Witch was her own thing. Shit, fuck, he exclaimed, jerking away from me. I almost had a flashback, one of those sinking, punch-gumped moments that took me back to the teasing of my childhood. But Neva was giggling in a good way, delighted. The sound caused Shay's bark, an encouraging yip. I don't know what the mage saw. A sparkling flash of blue on the wall behind him let me guess that Witch wasn't going to be ignored or hidden so easily any longer. The monster inside of me didn't need the hellhounds to establish her position in Kallax's pack. You'd better go on to your bed partner, Tweed. I think it's safer there, Neva said through her diminishing giggles. You're her then. Anastasia Noel? Yeah. The master said he was leaving a hound with you, and he coughed. Well, welcome to Argus home, lady, and all of that. Yeah, I'll go to bed now. He left. You're going to be so much fun to have around, Neva said. I rubbed the sore spot on the back of my head. Well, that was one way to look at it. And that is chapter 13 of Caught. I want to wish you all a happy New Year's Eve and a New Year's Day and a happy New Year as you listen to this. I was supposed to release Choosing Her Alpha tomorrow, but we're not going to be able to do that. I think I talked about this already. I do have it in my hands, and I was working on it today. There are a couple things I need to improve. I'm really hoping that we get... I'm unsure about... You know, I told my publisher lady that you got to check this over. It'll be in my hands and I just might mess it up even more and add more typos to it. So I want you to know my intention is to bring the cleanest, most professional copy to you that we can when we get it up in Kindle Unlimited. What else did I want to say? Oh, there is a book. I'm going to put the link in the description section. A little book that we made, it's called The Procrastinating Writer's Handbook. Is that what it is? I think that's what it's called. It's just a notebook with lines and some doodles in it. And if you want to support this podcast, I think I get, $1 some cents from every sale off of Amazon? I'm not sure, but it would bless me tons. And it's a notebook that you can write in, you can doodle in. It's pretty light. It's not heavy. It's not like some massive quality journal, people. It's not some leather-bound, beautiful, fantastic thing, but it's a fun little thing if you wanted to support the podcast and support me as a writer. And if you wanted something to take notes in, so that link will be in the notes of this podcast. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Have a fantastic day, night, afternoon, year. Oh my Lord, please. I've talked to a lot of people. We thought 2018 was hard, But 2019 was pretty hard. I think in the realm of people that I know, everybody lost somebody really dear to them. Maybe several somebodies. I did. I lost two jobs that had been pretty steady, and it just a crazy year. I took some chances, wrote some books, this, that, the other thing. Let 2020, with those beautiful round zeros, I love round shapes, let it just be the good year that we've been looking for. Okay, I am going to sign off. Have a great night. Have a great year.